Good morning. Are these lights on all the way? I'm at ease. There we go. Thank you, God. Well, today we're going to look at our final passage in the book of Judges, Samson and Delilah in Judges chapter 16. Next week we'll be hearing from Jim Fitzgerald and the work at Turkey Hill Ranch Bible Camp. And on November 24th, we will head back to the New Testament and go through the book of 2 Corinthians. Here at Fenton Crossing Bible Chapel, we teach from every book of the Bible, because all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's important to look back on and glean from the lives of the people the Lord used to fulfill his plan. We have seen two responses from people in the book of Judges: the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time to come here and share your word. Lord, help us to learn from people like Samson and apply your principles to our lives to be victorious Christians. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of today's message is Samson and Delilah, the influence of an ungodly woman. The last time I was up here, I spoke on Deborah and Barak. And the title of that was Deborah, the influence of a godly woman. In that passage, we saw how Deborah was raised up by the Lord to be a judge in Israel, and her positive influence with Barak and the nation of Israel. She challenged Barak to obey the Lord and to rise up and lead the nation to victory over the Canaanites. That victory was so sound that the enemy that we hear no more from the Canaanites in the pages of Scripture. Today we're going to look at another judge, Samson. He had a miraculous birth. His parents were visited by the angel of the Lord and told that no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. He was raised in a God-fearing home by godly parents, but he chose to be ruled by his flesh and follow his carnal nature and not wholly follow the Lord as a Nazarite. In today's passage, we see in Samson a man who allowed himself to be influenced by Delilah, an ungodly woman. What's the big idea? Well, the big idea is Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. In Hebrews 11, we read about Samson, and in verse 32 and 33, it says this: What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. When we look at the life of Samson, we can ask, what more did the Lord have planned for him if he was not so distracted by the things of the flesh? It's also a good question to ask ourselves. Deborah and Barak sowed to the Spirit and reaped life and victory for the nation by the power of the Lord. But Samson sowed to his flesh and reaped bondage, blinding, and death. As you proceed through the book of Judges, the nation spirals further and further away from the Lord. finally culminating in a civil war that nearly wipes out the tribe of Benjamin. The final verse of the book says it all. There is no king in Israel, and everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. When we saw Samson last week, the Spirit of the Lord had rushed upon him, and he defeated 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Afterwards, he's exhausted from the battle, and he calls upon the Lord and asks for a drink of water. God answers and splits open a rock, and water flows, and he is revived. And the chapter ends with Samson judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Up to this point, we see Samson demonstrating faith in the Lord. But now things are about to change as public enemy number one of the Philistine people is heading to the sunny Mediterranean coastal city of Gaza. So we're in Judges 16. We're going to begin and read verses 1 through 3. And I'll be reading from the ESV. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. The Gazites were told, "Samson has come here." And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city. They kept quiet all night, saying, Let us wait till light of the morning, then we will kill him. But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. Chapter 16 appears to cover the last year of Samson's life. Samson has a weakness: Philistine women. His parents desired him to find a wife among the people, among his own people, but he did not obey God or listen to his parents. And now we see Samson at a low point in his life. He had just had a great spiritual victory over 1,000 Philistines, but now he yields to his fleshly desires and visits a prostitute. The Word of God paints us a picture of the life of Samson, warts and all. James says this, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it has fully grown, brings forth death." I found this quote online from Dr. Constable as very helpful, understanding the life of Samson. He said, "Why did God continue to use Samson, seeing he was so morally impure?" Part of the answer has to be that God had chosen to use him and that he was patient with him. God's patience was providing Samson the opportunity to repent and to experience God's blessing instead of his judgment. Unfortunately, Samson responded to God's patience by taxing it to its limit. While the Heavenly Father is patient, he is not permissive. That is, he does not allow unacceptable behavior to continue indefinitely without discipline. End of quote. Samson, coming off a great spiritual victory by slaying single-handedly 1,000 men, now he yields to the lust of the flesh and sins before the Lord. In Samson, we do see the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. This visit to Gaza is the beginning of Samson's demise. The Philistines found out Samson was in Gaza and surrounded the place, setting up an ambush. They must have had a large contingent of soldiers surrounding the house to capture him, They knew he had just defeated 1,000 men by himself. But Samson wakes up in the middle of the night and leaves unnoticed by the soldiers. He rips the city gates and their posts out of the ground. Think about that. He rips them out of the ground, post and all, and carries them off uphill to a high point across from the city gate, seemingly to mock the Philistines. What's interesting is that the gates were not just wooden gates, which would have been a feat in and of itself, but the gates were covered with metal plates to protect them from the enemy setting fire to the gates. The God-given strength of Samson is not just incredible, but divinely supernatural. Verses 4 through 6. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, "Seduce him and see where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you." The scene now shifts to the valley of Sorek from Gaza. The Philistines knew his weakness was women. So when he arrives in the valley of Sorek and finds a new love interest, a woman named Delilah, the Philistines devise a plan to find out the secret of his great strength. We too have an enemy who is looking for the man or woman of God's weakness. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." The Word of God portrays our adversary as a predator, prowling around, watching and waiting to pounce on unsuspecting prey. Samson, blinded by his lust for Delilah, walks into her web of deceit. Who is Delilah? Well, her name means worshiper, and she may have been Jewish and converted to the Philistine religion. Delilah is devoted to the Philistines and their god, Dagon. Dagon is the god of the Philistines, and he was the fish god, half man and half fish. The Philistines were people who migrated across the Mediterranean Sea from the Aegean region to the coastal area near Gaza. Delilah is presented with a very lucrative offer to do an undercover operation for her people. She is greedy, a greedy, deceptive woman, ready to betray Samson for the pieces of silver. Though she is not a prostitute, she is willing to prostitute herself to find the secret of Samson's strength. In 1 Timothy 6:10, it says this, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Money is not the root of evil, but the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And Delilah's offer of silver from each of the five lords of the Philistines is a temptation too good to pass up. The value of the silver really varies in amounts depending upon the sources you read. But basically, this one act of deception and betrayal of Samson will set her up financially for life. The lords of the Philistines came to her. They were lying in wait, looking for the opportunity to get public enemy number one, Samson. They say, "Seduce him," which really wasn't that hard because he had already fallen in love with her. She will only get paid when she finds out the secret source of their strength. So Delilah goes right to work. Verse 6, she gets right to the point. We can learn many things from the life of Samson. Samson in the arms of a Philistine woman is not following the Lord's plan for his life. He is away from the will of God. He's in the world. He's indulging his flesh. And he's about to pay a very heavy price for it. Numbers 32 says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Samson is sowing to the flesh, and he's about to reap the whirlwind at the hand of greedy, deceptive Delilah. He was using her, and she was using him. In a sense, they were both getting what they wanted from each other, or so he thought. Samson is allowing himself to be influenced by an ungodly woman. When we are not where we're supposed to be and not doing the things we're supposed to be doing, trouble will be lurking around the corner. When we are not walking with the Lord in the light of his word, we are so easily deceived and blinded by any lustful pursuit. There are plenty of warnings in Proverbs chapters 5, 6, and 7, which warn us against the adulterous woman. In Proverbs 6, verses 24, 25, and 27, instruction was given to Solomon. It says this, "It was given to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. Can a man carry fire in his chest and his clothes not be burned?" Samson is about to get burned. What is he thinking? What is he doing there? He really needs to do the Joseph and run the other way. Delilah does not beat around the bush. She just comes out and asks him directly about the source of his strength. She says, "Please tell me where your strength lies," in her most seductive voice possible. But she's thinking about the silver the whole time. Verses 7 through 9, "Samson said to her, 'If they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings that have not been dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 fresh bowstrings that had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now she had men lying in ambush in an inner chamber, and she said to him, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' But he snaps the bowstrings as a thread of flax snaps when it touches fire. So the secret of his strength was not known." Samson, all brawn and no brain, it seems. He tries to play a trick on her and first tells her this story. Think about it. He allows himself to be tied up, but he snaps those bowstrings with ease. Verses 10 through 12. "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound.' And he said to her, 'If they bind me with new ropes that have not been used, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So Delilah took new ropes and bound him with them and said to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' And the men lying in ambush were in an inner chamber. But he snapped the ropes off his arms like a thread. They deceive one another a second time as he easily snaps the new ropes." Verses 13 and 14, "Then Delilah said to Samson, 'Until now you have mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound.' And he said to her, 'If you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with a pin, then I shall become weak and be like any other man.' So while he slept, Delilah took the 7 locks of his head and wove them into a web in the web. And she made them tight with the pin and said to him, 'Samson, the Philistines are upon you.' But he awoke from his sleep and pulled away the pin, the loom, and the web. With his head in the lap of Delilah, he falls asleep, and she weaves his long flowing locks and binds them with a pin. Interestingly, this is the same word for the tent peg used to drive, that Jael used to drive the tent peg into the Canaanite general's temple. Samson has very long hair. Years ago, I worked with a guy who was a Rastafarian, and he had not cut his hair in like 20 to 30 years. He had it woven into dreadlocks. His hair literally went down to his waist. When he had to put on his hard hat to work in the plant around the machinery, he would like put it in this nylon bag to protect it from becoming entangled in the machinery. When he stuffed it all in that bag, it was literally like the size of a 10-pound bag of potatoes on his head. It was big and bulky. But I say that to help us see how Delilah would have woven Samson's hair and how long it was that it could be bound up with a large tent peg-like pin to help bind it together. And for the third time, Delilah says, "The Philistines are upon you," but he pulls away from that trap again. Laying your head in the lap of a beautiful woman is not a place to resist temptation. It didn't happen once or twice, but three times he escaped her seductive tricks to find out the source of his strength. Verses 15 through 17. "And she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies.' And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her with all his heart and said to her, 'A razor has never come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man.'" Delilah's aggravated at him. Her greed for that money is revealed in her impatience of daily pressing him harder and harder. "If you love me, you would tell me." Finally, Samson tells the truth to Delilah and finds out the source of his strength. Interestingly, this is the first time he mentions God and that he's a Nazarite to God. Verse 18, "When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up again, for he has told me all his heart.' Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. When Delilah realizes he told her the secret of his strength, she wastes no time in notifying the lords of the Philistines. And they bring to her the lustful desires of her heart, 5,500 pieces of silver. Samson has been betrayed for many pieces of silver. With the money on its way and the Philistines gathered round her house, she made him, verse 19 and 20, she made him sleep on her knees. And she called a man in and had him shave off his seven locks of his head. She began to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' And he awoke from his sleep, and he said, 'I will go out as at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him." Notice Samson's response, "I will." Jeremiah 17:5, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord." That was Samson. Samson was looking to himself for his deliverance and not the Lord. Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man. Samson was trusting in himself. He thought he was a strong man, but he wasn't. It was the Lord working through him. He said, I will. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride comes before destruction. There was a created angel who boasted before his creator and said, I will ascend to heaven. I will set my throne on high. Samson was a Nazarite from the womb. His parents were visited by the angel of the Lord. He was gifted with the strength to rip posts and gates out of the ground and carry them uphill. He was able to slay 1,000 men with a donkey jawbone. It wasn't his strength. It was the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. When we come to a place in our life when we think, I got this, or I can handle it myself, that's when we need to watch out. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Samson's sin found him out. He was living in sin, out of the will of God, and his confidence was in himself. Sadly, there's more. It says, but he did not know the Lord left him. What a sad verse. Another one of those big buts in the Bible. Betrayed, living in sin, without the Lord in his life, the Philistine enemy immediately seized him. The adversary, like a prowling lion, pounced on the unsuspecting victim. Samson was devoured by the Philistines. C.H. McIntosh has this quote. Says, the lap of Delilah proved too strong for the heart of Samson. And what 1,000 Philistines could not do was done by the ensnaring influence of a single woman. Verse 21, the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. The enemy knew Samson was ready to be taken down. They seize him and gouge out his eyes. What was the last thing Samson saw after they grabbed him? His eyes were a stumbling block, and the Lord used the barbaric practices of the Philistines to gouge out his eyes. Blinded and bound, they lead him back to Gaza. What was the last thing he saw? Was it them giving Delilah a large bag of silver? Was the last thing he saw Delilah laughing at him for being a fool and telling them the source of his strength? Samson's spiritual blindness, brought on by sin, led to his physical blindness. In Judges 14:1, it says, when we are first introduced to Samson on the pages of scriptures, it says, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. In chapter 14, verse 7, it says, he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in his eyes. And here in chapter 16 today, he went to Gaza and he saw a prostitute. It doesn't say this, but when he saw Delilah, probably he loved her. And notice his shackles are bronze. Bronze is a sign of judgment. In the tabernacle, the altar was bronze. The laver was bronze for self-examination, cleansing, and reflection about personal holiness. The serpent in the wilderness was bronze. All signs of judgment for sin, even death. Verse 22. But the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. By the grace of God, his hair starts growing. It's a shaft of light in a place of blindness and a prison cell. Verses 23 through 26. Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country, who has killed many of us." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call Samson, that he may entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them. They made him stand between two pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." The mighty strong man of Israel is reduced to the point of being led around at the hand of a young boy. They are praising Dagon and offering sacrifices of praise because of Samson's imprisonment. What humiliation. Sitting in his darkened prison cell, sitting in a darkened prison cell has softened many people's hearts and opened many blind eyes. Day after day, sitting in darkness in his prison cell, Samson had time to think, "What happened to me? Where did I go wrong?" And as his daily routine of being bound while blind and grinding at the wheel, overhearing the mocking and scorning of the enemy, his heart must have been grieved as he listened to the Philistines singing songs of praise and worshiping Dagon. At some point, his heart must have turned back to the Lord. Years ago, I worked with a blind man. He lost his sight after an explosion in the Korean War. I learned many things about the blind from this man. The main thing was his acute sense of hearing. His listening skills were always on high alert because he couldn't see his surroundings. He picked up things from listening that sighted people don't catch. Think of all the comments Samson overheard while blind. How their worship of an idol must have convicted his heart. Samson was wrong, sinfully indulging his flesh. His disobedience to God cost him his eyesight, his leadership position, and his freedom. Admitting we are wrong about something is very hard to do. Mankind thinks they are free to do whatever they want without any consequences. Which brings us back to the big idea. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Sin might be pleasurable, but it's only for a season. The penalty of sin will be exacted. God will not be mocked. We will reap what we sow. And Samson is reaping what he sowed in this dark prison cell. Verse 27 and 28. Now the house was full of men and women. All the lords of the Philistines were there. And on the roof there were about 3,000 men and women who looked on while Samson entertained. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson, after being mocked and ridiculed and an object of scorn, finally calls out to the Lord. His cry is a deeply theological cry. "O Lord, Yahweh, the self-existent one, the covenant-keeping God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who cannot lie and keeps his promises, to you, O Adonai, Master. He calls the Lord Master. Prior to this prayer, Samson was his own master. He said, I will. But now, after spending time in the dungeon, blindly grinding at the mill, humiliated before God and man, he's crying out to the Lord. It continues, Jehovah, remember me. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Proud Samson now has a humble, broken, and contrite heart before the Lord. He continues his prayer, saying, strengthen me this one time, O God, Elohim, the supreme being. It's amazing listening to Samson's great theology in this prayer. But we still see a side of his flesh. He says that I may avenge the Philistines for my eyes. Though his theology may be sound, he wants revenge. Samson's physical blindness now helps restore his spiritual eyesight. When Samson prays, his strength returns. The power of prayer. We are strongest in the Lord when we are people of prayer, fully dependent on the Lord. Verses 29 through 31. And Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed during his life. Then his brothers and his family came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had judged Israel 20 years. Samson, with his strength returned from the Lord, pushes out the pillars, and the whole building comes tumbling down upon him. And in his death, he slays more Philistines than in his whole life. Samson sacrifices himself to help destroy the enemy. What can we learn from Samson's life today? Well, number one, who are we allowing to influence us? Samson allowed himself to be influenced by an ungodly woman, Delilah, and it led to his downfall. Contrast this with Barak, who was influenced by a godly woman, Deborah, to be strong and courageous and lead the Lord's people to victory. Number two, Samson could have been greater before the Lord during his time as a judge, but instead he pursued the things of the flesh and was sidetracked by the carnal pursuits. And lastly, there's also some very interesting comparisons between Samson and the Lord Jesus Christ. Both parents had an angelic visitor announcing their birth and mission. Both had a miraculous birth. Both were betrayed by the kisses of a friend. Both were betrayed for pieces of silver. Samson spread out his arms and cried out to the Lord and sacrificed himself and died because of his bondage and sin to defeat some of his enemies as an act of revenge. Samson was taken to the grave and buried by his family, but he remains there. The Lord Jesus Christ spread out his arms on the cross, cried out to his Father, and sacrificed himself and died to defeat his enemy as an act of love. He died for his enemy's sins. Jesus was taken to the grave and buried, but he is risen. Romans 5 says this, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Have you believed in Jesus as your Savior today? Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time to look at the life of Samson. Lord, help us to learn from people's successes and failures in the pages of Scripture. Help our lives to be Christ-like and like you. We just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.